This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hello and welcome to the making of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and producer, Hannah Preisinger, and with me today I have
Kathy Ranella,
Loria Ann Davis,
Marissa Ewing,
and Tessa Vroom.
And what is your role here at Rusty Towers?
I am the Rusty Quill Mastering Editor.
I am the Vocal Cut Editor for Rusty Quill Gaming.
I am also a Vocal Cut Editor for Rusty Quill Gaming, among other things.
And I did the sound design for Rusty Quill Gaming.
And just to add to the formula, because this is my podcast now and you can't stop me,
Alex.
What is everyone's pronouns? Mine are she, her.
She, her as well.
She, her for me.
She, her.
And she, they.
Nice.
We did it.
Hooray!
We got the intro.
That was so
we
easy.
We did an intro.
First time. Straight through.
Yeah. First time. Yeah. Absolutely.
Pros.
Well, hello everyone, welcome. We are here today to talk about this lovely podcast that we have put our blood, sweat, and tears into, hopefully not literally. It is over now.
Oh.
It has ended, and we are all sad. There were some small tears that were had.
Or
maybe some big
tears.
I won't speak for everyone. Some big tears. Moderately sized tears.
There were tears through the whole campaign, really, if we're honest. But
yeah,
particularly during the last few episodes.
One of the hallmarks of our Rusty Quill Gaming is just tears. You love it.
Every time I had to type comedy gaming podcast into the metadata tag, I was like, this is a lie. It's a lie.
I'm perpetuating a lie.
We all know this is the horror one. Well, I think to get things started, we could just go around our digital table and just describe a little bit of what it is that you do as your job for Rusty Quill Gaming. Obviously, we've got some folks who are multi-talented, work on other shows, do other roles, etc. But just for our one podcast we're focusing on today, if you could just say a bit about what your role entails, and I guess like a true cordial host, I will go first and give you all a little bit of time to think about what you want to say, which I didn't get, but that's fine.
Thank you for your sacrifice.
You're welcome. So I am/was the producer for Rusty Quill Gaming. And what that involves primarily is a lot of spreadsheets, and just basically keeping track of the production schedule and keeping tabs on this wonderful editing squad here and making sure that everyone knows what they're working on, making sure that deadlines are being met or adjusted for if need be. And what else do I do?
Emotional support.
Emotional support. Yes. We all emotional support each other, really. I also liaise with April, our production manager, and of course Alex as the showrunner to decide things like what kind of content we want in our postseason time frame. So like this one right here. And also chat with the cast and with various guests that are on to, you know, make sure everyone knows where they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to do when they get there. And yeah, that's pretty much me. These guys are the ones who actually get their hands on all that delicious audio and do cool things to it. That's the other thing I do. I listen to the audio and like write up the show notes and stuff at the end so that everyone knows what's happening. Yes. Okay.
That's actually very important.
Yeah. That's pretty important. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Fair enough.
And you post the podcast so people can hear it as well.
I also do that.
That's a very important part.
Okay. I guess that's important. So let's see. I guess starting with sort of the first steps in the editing pipeline, let's start with Lori as one of our Vocal Cut editors.
Hello.
What do you do, Lori?
What do I do?
See, no one knows. It's hard.
I get the audio. I download everyone's audio and then I put it all together and I listen to it. And get the emotions out of the way. And then do like, you know, big cuts of if there was a battle that day, like there's a chance that there was a lot of extenuous chat then that isn't necessarily the most interesting thing to listen to. So I will like edit to make it a bit smoother, hopefully keep it making sense. And just kind of try and make the whole thing run smoothly. I guess here's an example. I usually get about an hour, 15 minutes of content, and then it cut it down to roughly 50 minutes. So I cut about 25 minutes of content, basically, which is not content. You trust me, you don't want to listen to the tippy-tappy of them looking up the rules and then reading it to each other and then debating how to apply that. I promise you.
I feel like there are already people who are out there going, I do want to hear that. You do.
I don't think you do.
We're here to take care of you and give you good audio. Don't worry. We're giving you the good stuff.
Yeah.
And Marissa, as our other Vocal Cut editor, is that pretty much same process for you as well? You have been largely our sort of like pinch hitter. Like you come in and help us make things possible with our schedule when otherwise it wouldn't be. And we love you for it. So you've done like a lot of specials, for example.
Yeah.
Anything different there?
The specials are a little different just because of, who's interacting with who and also, lots of that rules chatter that has to be cut at the beginning of each of the games. But, I've mostly done vocal cut editing for the specials. I've done, a few of the main episodes and then I've also done a little bit of sound design. That one's more rare though. I think the last one I did was the, 2020 Halloween special, which was the crossover with Stella Firma, where they were on the haunted space station.
That was a time.
But yeah, I usually just come in for the specials and, you know, kind of deal with the audio that tends to be less of a regular format than the typical episodes.
And goodness, we love you for it.
yes.
Let's see. Tessa, hello.
Hi.
Tell us about doing sound stuff.
Yeah, so I get whatever Lori and Marissa have finished up, which is, so I don't get to hear all the nice side chatter and the ums and the haws and the all of that stuff. So I get the fully wizarded dialogue audio. It's been magicked into place. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then I listen through it and I take my notes about where people are, what they're doing, at what times. And then I just make the sound. I don't know how to explain it.
It just happens. You just hit a button.
I hit
it's
a button.
A soundify.
And I go, whoa, 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 into the microphone. And then, you know, there it is. It's yeah. magic. No, a
little
lot
known
of
fact,
my...
every sound used in Rusty Quill Gaming started as Tessa going, whoa, 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 into the microphone. And then the rest is just special effects.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. No, no, no. I have to say... most of the audio that I use is Creative Commons audio or attribution credited audio that we find on Freesound predominantly.
Shout out to Freesound.
Yeah, shout out to Freesound. Yeah. It's a great resource. And then I usually start with like the big background locations that they're in. So if they're in an inn, then you start with that. You're like, okay, is it a wooden inn? Is it a stone inn? Is there music? Is it more of a rowdy vibe? Is it a chill vibe? And what's their light source? Is it fire? Is it electricity? And you just try to build up from there and make sure that you've got like a good balance of your low and high tones. And you have to take things into consideration, like with high tones, if it's a repetitive sound, that's going to be something that the ear tracks. And you don't want to draw away the attention from the dialogue and what's happening. So you have to be careful with those and not make them too loud or too obvious. And you also need mid-tones, but those can't overwhelm the voices. So that's what I do, basically. And then I use previously made sounds or making my own sounds or finding sounds that I've edited then to make like the attack noises, magic noises, doors, chairs scraping, and then line it all up to the vocal cut and try to decide when it makes the most sense to make the sound, or if I have to repeat it a couple times, because there's a lot of moments where someone will say, oh, I'm going to make this attack. And then they roll the dice and then they say how much damage they did. And then they say the after effect of the damage. And I'm like, okay, how do I do this? How do I make it make sense? I do that and listen to the whole thing. And I say, ask, it's good enough. And I'm sure Kathy will make it sound better. And then I upload it.
And on that note, Kathy, last but certainly not least in this pipeline, tell us about what it is that you do.
Oh, gosh. Well, to be original, I sit down and I listen to the audio.
groundbreaking.
Groundbreaking. obviously, really important part for all of these stages. But I take Tessa's wonderful mix and I listen through the full thing, start to finish, making notes on what I'm hearing and what stands out to me, what kind of pops out as maybe something unexpected or something that pops out as being...
incorrect.
I'm looking for words that I can't find right now. Yeah, incorrect. My brain wants to say avant-garde, and that's totally not the word I actually want to use. Basically, I'm there to make sure that I'm the final check at the end. So I'm listening for things that... from a storyline logic perspective, making sure that the VC track, the spoken track, is going in a logical progression. Maybe there's a word or a phrase in there somewhere that is repetitive and we missed it during the course of reviewing an hour and a half long of audio multiple times, which is very easy to do when you're reviewing that much audio. Mm. Additional voice cleanup. Sometimes there's like a stray plosive or something like that I'll go in and fix. I think for the majority of Rusty Quill Gaming, it's kind of been a back and forth discussion with Tessa and I on a lot of soundscape stuff. Tessa does a wonderful job of crafting all of this together. There'll sometimes be like, I think like in the past we've gone over some timing things. A lot of the time what I ended up doing is looking for context and looking for historical matchup.
Yeah, because I will never do research. I never want to do research, ever.
Yeah, what was it? When we did, I think it was number 214, when the dragons started to make their appearance.
Ah, yes.
Oh gosh, that was
there were some sounds in that episode.
Several hours of research going back into the archives, finding every moment of like Apophis and
when the dragons appeared previously.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. For listeners that don't know, I think I joined on, I think, episode 205 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you are the newest member of the squad.
I know. Put credit out there right now. Most of the mastering you've probably heard thus far, if you've listened to the entire series, is mostly Alex and then some from Jeffrey. And then that was me kind of doing stuff at the tail end there. So big kudos to those two for all the amazing work they've done on that.
Yes.
But yeah, so joining at that moment in the series meant going and pretty much binging a whole bunch of past mm-hmm. RQG episodes and trying to pull out stuff for consistency and continuity. That said, review all of it, figure out what works, what doesn't work. Tessa and I talk back and forth, making little tweaks here and there. And then when it's done, we just put some finishing touches on it and we shove it out the door to the public and to Hannah, who takes care
yes.
of it. Yeah.
Yes, I catch it as Kathy shoves it out the door and like turn it around in my hands and look at it and make sure it's all properly working and then just drop kick it into the internet. And that's how that process works. Cool. So there's a little peek behind the curtain at our editing pipeline, I suppose. And we have started to touch on this a little bit in those previous questions, but I am actually curious this myself. Have you listened to the podcast outside of your work on it? Have you heard the whole thing at this point? This is a question for everybody. Before I joined, Rusty Quill had started listening to RQG and then had the wild experience of like listening to an episode and then getting ready for a Skype job interview with like Alex and some other people and suddenly being like, oh God, they're actually talking to me now. What's happening? It was really trippy, honestly. I personally have now heard the whole thing because, you know, caught up beforehand and then obviously now listened to every episode as it goes out. But how about the rest of you guys?
I mean, the reason I joined Rusty Quill was because I loved Rusty Quill Gaming.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
Oh, did you know?
No, I didn't know that either.
Maybe I haven't said this publicly then. So I was doing a improv course with Bryn and yeah, we were just chatting in the bar after. And he was like mentioned that he was in a podcast. And I was like, oh, I like podcasts. I'll listen to that. And then next week came back and was like, I love it so much. I'm on episode 60.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's awesome.
I just mainlined it, basically. And then they were looking, because I actually started, my first job at Rusty Quill was the producer for Rusty Quill Gaming. So I did that for
a
few months.
Yeah.
So that's because they were looking for a producer. And I was like, well, yeah, right. Please take me.
That was exactly my process as well. This sounds like a thing I could do. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the editing spot came up and I was like, yes, please. I want to do that. And then I started editing and I think episode 106 was my first edit. I know the Spire special was my second one because I will never forget that.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I kept listening to it. So I used to listen when they would record. Obviously, they recorded in studio when I first started.
Ah, yes. The before times.
Because now the producers sit in on recordings, but I didn't do that. I didn't go in. So as soon as all of the episodes, like they'd usually do like 3 or 4 per session, as soon as they were available to me, I would download them all and just listen to them all ahead of time. And then I got a bit chiller about it, which makes me a little bit sad. Like, I really did like being an Uber fan. Yeah, I guess I don't... Something that I do feel bad about is that I haven't listened to a lot of Tessa's edits.
Because I
really, really want to, but it's because there was always one after the other.
Yeah.
And I'd spent so long listening to it. And I keep doing this thing where I'm like, I want to re-listen to it all. So I keep going back to the beginning and then it's just not maintainable for me anymore to listen to them all. So I need to just be like, right, I'm going to season 4 is enough, to be fair.
Yeah, the infinite season 4.
I'm going to start season 4 and I'm just going to listen to it properly. I did listen to the Myriad Voices, though, because I really enjoyed that.
Oh, yeah, we will definitely talk about that.
Marissa, how about you? Have you heard more than just the scattershot like few episodes that you have worked on?
Yeah, I've definitely heard more. So I was just looking at my files. My first edit was 167, though I think I edited like when I was first signing on, like an older episode in like the 80s, but I've basically listened since 167.
Not the 1980s.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. No. In the episode list in the 80s.
Kathy was like, there's a whole 2 decades worth of audio I haven't
started in like 1986. I had listened to an episode in the 80 number, and then I started listening back from the beginning and made it a significant chunk of the way. So I'm still working on that, but so there's basically like knowledge in the beginning and then just like some things happen in the middle and then from 167 to the end.
Valid. Yeah.
I like that. Some things happen.
My listen through started fairly recently and I was like, I like this character, Sasha, but not further down the line. I wonder what happens.
Who's this Grizzop dude everyone keeps talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. Jessa, how about you?
I have, I believe, listened to almost every episode. There's a couple specials that I never listened to. Because I did my interview during the summer for me, and Alex was like, we're going to want you on sound design for Rusty Cool Gaming. And I was just like, oh no, I've heard none of it. And I didn't want to go into it not knowing what it had been like previously. And Alex told me, like, you don't have to listen to the first, you know, season to like learn what you're doing, because the first season was really light on the sound design. So you should be listening more to the recent things. But I am a huge completionist and I wanted to know everything. So I spent 2 weeks of my summer vacation just listening to Rusty Quill Gaming.
Oh, wow.
There's a whole gray zone toward the middle of stuff I do not remember because I don't know what was going on. But so anyway, I have listened to basically the whole thing, and I used to listen to every episode when it would come out on the feed, even though I had been editing it like 2 weeks before that and heard it basically at its complete state. But I would still usually listen and just hear what additional changes Alex had made, because at the time he was the master. And he didn't do it the way that Kathy does, where Kathy gives kind of feedback and then I put my hands all over the audio again and tweak things and stuff. And so then I'm hearing it even more in its practically complete form. Yeah, so I don't know when I stopped listening on the main feed. I think probably around like episode 170 or 180. And I started editing also around episode 132. So that's me. That's how long I've been listening.
Yep. And then, Kathy, you mentioned that as the newest member of the squad, you sort of came in towards the end game here. Have you had a chance to, or had the desire to, go back and hear all the rest of it?
I have had the desire to hear the full thing. I negotiated with myself and I started at exactly episode 160.
Nice.
I chose 160 because I think that's the first episode that you, Hannah, were producer on. So I wanted to start from the very first episode where the whole team was all together.
So
I got that's a feel nice. For everybody's mix and work and all that fun stuff.
That's such a wholesome way to decide that. Wow.
I've listened to you and only you.
Okay. Yeah, that's less wholesome, but
you're veering away from wholesome, but that's okay. It's okay.
There is an exception when that research popped up for the last few episodes of Rusty Quill Gaming.
Dragon stuff.
Yeah, I started going back and spoiling myself on a few of the earlier episodes, particularly the Rome storyline with Sasha and Grizzup, which, let me tell you...
Oh,
listening
wow.
to that at the same time listening to all of the endgame stuff for Rusty Quill Gaming
at the same time.
It was like such an emotional whiplash I was not ready for at all.
Yeah, damn. That's a lot.
Yeah.
I was like, here's thing with our 5-6 main crew, and then Sasha, and then Grisop, then Sasha again. Like, oh God, I can't do this. I have since gone back and started listening from the first one to kind of get the rest of the context, because, you know, I don't want this to be over, even though it is.
Mm-hmm. No.
How dare you?
I know.
I think my stopping point, though, is BenQuest, only because BenQuest is where I started working on them as well. And because I'm so far along in the editing chain, it's like I've heard what is essentially the final product, and I've listened to it so many times before it goes to release. It's like, I'm good.
Yeah.
It's fine. Yeah, that's fair.
It'd be nice to revisit maybe in a few years, but not now.
Yeah.
Give it a little space. Give it some breathing room. Mm. Well, cool. The next question that I have actually is from a fan who submitted in the RQG mailbag a couple of questions for the editors. Oh. So their name is Kit, and we appreciate Kit. Hello. We think you're neat. We're going to answer your questions. So Kit and I and the rest of the people would like to know, what was your favorite episode to work on? Is there something you're really proud of? I'm assuming in the context of RQG and not just in general, but, you know, I'm guessing there's probably stuff that you are really proud of in your life overall. So I, again, will...
Too close, too close, too close.
It was a dumb joke.
I love you, Hannah.
I again, will stall for some time for you guys and answer first. I think my favorite episode to work on was the last few, because there really was a sense of everyone sort of coming together for the big conclusion, and like the way that the schedules worked out, it was like just a little bit stressful and just a little bit trying to hurry up. But Tessa had the brilliant idea of, for Myriad, recording multiple people from this behind-the-scenes crew doing Alex's lines with him and layering them all together to form that beautiful hive mind. So that was such a cool idea, and I was very pleased to have a sneaky cameo in the final episode, as did, I think... Did all of you guys end up pitching in for that?
I think
everyone did. Yeah. So I think that was probably my favorite. And in terms of something I'm really proud of, I'm just proud of you guys and the whole thing. I feel like since I'm sort of in like a managerial-ish role, I get to say that I'm just proud of all of you guys, and I'm sticking with it. So there you go.
Yay.
Yay. Yeah. Let's see. I'm going to do a different order this time. So, surprise. Tessa,
Yay!
Do you have a favorite episode that you worked on?
I have favorite, like, sound moments that I can remember specifically. I think that episode-wise, I can remember the feeling of, like, oh, wow, I'm really proud of this episode, but I don't know specifically which ones they were. Because it was just kind of a feeling afterwards where I was like, that one feels good to me. But just to go through quickly, some of my favorite and most proud of sounds were usually the ones that were really quite challenging to make, where I would sit and I'd be listening and I'd be like, how am I going to do that? Why would they ask me to do that? What? How do I make like a giant dead whale fall on a glass tunnel deep under the ocean and like it slowly slides down and then the whole tunnel breaks and collapses and floods with water? And how do I do this? So it would be things like that where I would go into it feeling really... almost a level of despair and hopelessness and fear and like, I'm not good enough for this job. And I would come out the other side having made something that worked and surprising myself by being able to do that. So to go through, some of the sounds were toward the very beginning, the Grant Howitt special, Sexy Battle Wizards, in the whole thing was toward the beginning of my editing career here, and I still didn't feel like I knew what I was doing, and I got some really nice feedback from Alex on that one about like
just some of the sounds I made, and that in general, if you're doing a Grant Howitt special, whatever you can make is good, because they're so, I don't even know how to describe them. They're just kind of
they're
off
so
the
much.
Wall. Yes. So the Christmas heart sound effects was one that I, where they kind of go into this like beating Christmas heart, and I like had layered jingle bells with like a heartbeat and like all these other things. That was one. And like tinsel, I'd recorded rustling tinsel. I stole tinsel from my school and I was like rustling it. So that's
stolen
one thing.
Tinsel. It sounds different
it was
than
stolen
the,
tinsel,
the normal
yeah.
kind.
I still have jingle bell, the bells in a box over here because I've got a little sound box that I of things that make interesting sounds.
Ooh. We're going to come back to that.
And yeah, I can make some of them on the recording. So the Christmas heart sound effects, the whale falling on the glass tunnel, as I described earlier, the vengeance crashing.
Oof. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The dragon fight scenes toward the end, the shards that had like all these different things going on in them where like one, they would fall into the shard and it would be like a shard full of boulders and they'd get bludgeoned around and then they'd fall out the other side and be back in like the void. That whole thing
the
was
element of surprise.
Yeah, the element of surprise. That one was really interesting to make because you have to make so many different sounds for that, like the whole clockwork shard and the fire shard, and so I liked that one a lot. Myriad too was challenging but fun. Yeah, and I also always loved it whenever there were like respites from the fighting and everything. And there was a more calm episode where it was like standing and talking by the ocean. I liked the nature sounds a lot. And I wish that the crew spent more time outside during my part of the campaign. They were doing a lot of dungeon crawling right when I joined. And then anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. I said a lot of things, but I was in general proud of the things that were really hard for me to make.
Well, that makes a great deal of sense. Marissa, how about you? Favorite episode to work on? Anything you're particularly proud of?
Yeah, so I would say I'll pick two, one that I did sound design and one that I did dialogue editing on. For sound design, that would definitely be the RQG Stella Firma crossover for Halloween that I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Because I... So that was my first sound design for Rusty Quill, and I specialize in horror, like the horror genre in general, outside of Rusty Quill, so I was really excited that this one was going to be like a spooky Halloween episode. But I'm not as used to doing comedy sound effects, so blending horror and comedy was incredibly chaotic and... I'd say a bit difficult for me at first, but fortunately I got, you know, really good feedback between Tessa and Alex, but I think it turned out really well. And also just the fact of, like, every single character was incredibly strange in some way. Like, one of them had knives for hands, and it's like, how do you have a character that walks and has, like, knives that they use and just, like, hit against things or, you know, some of the sci-fi sound effects, so... That one was definitely one of the hardest but most fun to work on, especially the second episode, which is where things really started to get chaotic. But I think my favorite dialogue edit would actually be the crossover between Rusty Quill Gaming and These Flimsy Rituals, which I think might have only been on Patreon. But I thought that the system that they were playing in was really fun, and the world that they created in only three episodes was really rich and expansive. So it was kind of a joy to really edit that one because it was just really fun to listen to and work on. So I'd say that one was probably my favorite. I don't know which of the three, probably all three of them.
Nice.
Oh, very cool.
Let's see. Kathy, how about you?
Well, I have a smaller pool to pull from. Honestly, across the board, I enjoyed the marbles.
The marbles.
Yes.
Tessa
okay,
just so... whispers the marbles. That is a mood.
So there's a story about the marbles. Yes, they were incredibly awesome. As a whole, I just want to say, like, the entire wrap up from I don't know where we were at, like 211, 212 to the end was just a heck of a ride, and it was really, that wrap up was super enjoyable. Yeah, I'm proud of the marbles. Do I tell the marble story, Tessa?
I think you gotta tell the marble story.
Okay.
I don't know if I even know the marble story.
I mean, it's not... I'm making it up to be this big thing. It's not really, but it's just really fun. Oh, gosh, was it episode 216?
I do not remember. You cannot ask me for numbers.
It's impossible to tell.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll use the Alex Newell rules for numbers, which is it was episode 200.
And that, right, episode 200. I was at my day job, and I got a message from Tessa out of the blue, and it just said, do you have any marble sounds? And because we are already at endgame...
No, I think I asked you, do you have any marbles?
Do I have any marbles? All right. Keep in mind, I had started listening from episode 160, which is the very first episode where Azu had bought the marbles in the market.
Oh, that's
actually
such a beautiful...
Right before the airship. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's
amazing.
Perfect.
So that was the only thing Tessa said was, do you have any marbles? And I immediately knew what she was wanting. I was like, yes. I will go home and I will check. Which I think after that, you kind of explained you needed a lot of marbles dropping, right? It was like...
Well, it was supposed to be like 9,000 marbles.
Right, yeah. Something like that. Spoilers. Obviously, we didn't have 9,000. And with what is probably available on Free Sound, there probably wasn't a lot for you to work with.
No, there was almost nothing.
Well, I went home and I scrounged through everything I had and I came up with like about 220 marbles I happen to have on hand. So I put them all together in a bag and it was like 10 p.m. at night. I went back to my day job, which has a warehouse, and I just went to the back of the warehouse. I'm like, all right, I'm going to record this stuff. We're going to get this recording of all these marbles for Azu being dumped out so we can get that thing in the clock tower going. And so I took my bag and I got it all set up and I pour it and it's about... a second and a half after I've started pouring it, and I see all of the marbles, they hit the floor, and they start rolling across the warehouse. I'm like,
oh no.
I forgot I have to pick all these up.
Oh no!
I poured 220 marbles on the floor.
Oh my god.
And now they are all rolling to opposite ends of the warehouse.
Oh, buddy. No.
And now I gotta go get these things and do it again, because obviously one recording isn't gonna be enough.
Oh my god.
So even now, it's like it's been several months now since like the last episode. I'm still getting every so often a coworker who walks up to me like a little magpie and is like hands me a marble.
Oh my god!
He's like, here you go. I found this for you. Like, thank you.
Oh,
thank you very
legend
much.
Legend says to this day there are still marbles in Kathy's house.
There will always be marbles, though.
Yes.
Always marbles. To fondly remember that one time I did not plan ahead.
Oh, but what a result. I mean,
what commitment. I love
it. That's right. I was a little overeager, but it was a good time. And Tessa made sweet, sweet sounds with it. So
yes.
I wanted to say one other thing I was proud of, I most enjoyed, honestly, was the end of Epilogue 3.
Mm.
I took a little bit of happiness from the change that we made at the last minute of the outro music.
Yeah.
That
got me. That got me. And a lot of people as well, from what I understand.
Yeah.
That was a very lovely choice.
We had gone through the whole thing and we got to the end and it just seemed like the standard outro was a little too sudden.
Mm.
It was a little too blunt. And so it kind of felt a little disjointed. So I'm like, let's do an extended outro. So additional music. And my original thought was it's to give people a chance to like ramp down from all the emotion that they've experienced in the Epilogue 3. And I didn't really realize when I was piecing together the new outro and I was re-listening to it and I'm like feeling that little weird clutch in your chest when you feel something emotional, like that was actually signifying it was going to make it worse.
Yep.
I'm like, oops. Oh well,
whoopsie.
But it works, right? It works.
It does. I really liked that choice. Okay. Laurie, before we hear your favorite episode that you have worked on and get to some individual questions for all of you, we got to take a little bit of a break.
Oh.
So we're going to do that. Oh. Back in a minute.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And welcome back. Okay, so we left on the cliffhanger ending of finding out Laurie's favorite episode to work on and anything that she's particularly proud of. So Laurie, what's up?
This is gonna be worth sitting through the advert for. You're welcome.
Yes.
Mine nice. Are very like vague and wishy-washy. So one nice segue actually is I adored editing the Azu marble bit just because Helen was so, so happy with herself.
Like, just radiant.
And it was all so right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that the marbles had been such a little, what, could you even call it a C plot? They're not a plot, but they've just been there for so long and it felt so right to use them. And I was like, yes! I guess, it's lots of little moments like that for me. Like, I remember, the episode in Rome where Hamid does the fireball on himself.
When Hamid pops, yes.
Yeah, when Hamid pops. Those are, as I said, I used to download all of the episodes and listen to them. And I would normally start like doing little edits and be like, oh, okay, I'll take out the big chunks that are obvious to take out as I do my first listen and things like that. But with that episode, I remember just being like, no, I have to just sit and listen because I can't. I cannot focus on anything else. Being so nervous. And, you know, shouting at Ben to remember that he had Paladin Sacrifice and then just being like, yes, when lightning hit Barrett Monster Guy. And I have a lot of... I'm so sad because I've just changed my phone and I've lost all of my WhatsApp messages from 2018 onwards, because I don't pay for, I don't have storage space, whatever, it's not that big a deal. But what I'm sad about is that there are so many messages that I just send to Bryn, like, bless him, he must just be in work, and then he'll just get a message from me being like, oh my God, Sasha, oh my God, this, and he's like, what episode do you want? Yeah, as for proudest moment, I don't know. I think kind of similar to what Tessa said, I know there have been a lot of moments where it would be like a cut where there's been like a really messy chat because they're trying to work things out. And then when you just get the cut right and you're like, oh, that flows so beautifully and no one's going to know how much I cut out of that. But just being like, yes, that makes so much sense. Another fond memory I have of editing is editing the Honey Heist special, because I did one of them. I was on a train going to Edinburgh, I think it was, and it was a packed train and I was just sitting editing this thing, like snort laughing into, like, it was quite a quiet carriage and there was nothing I could do about it. It was just so funny. So I think maybe that points to one of my favourite things has been... Oh, it sounds too real, but like the cast are really funny.
Yeah.
They're really clever.
It's true.
And, like,
it's true.
Like, I don't do much tightening of, it's not like they'll workshop a joke, or they sit for a while and chip in with a joke after like a pause of 10 seconds. They're just really quick.
Yeah.
I think general enthusiasm is what I have. It's appropriate that I'm producing enthusiasm, I think.
It is. That works out nicely.
Something really interesting is that people won't know if you've done a good edit. Like, if the vocal cuts mm-hmm. are done well, mm-hmm. people won't know. Mm. They'll only know if there's a mistake.
Yeah.
But with my edits, mm-hmm. they'll know if I've done something good, you know? Like, because they'll be like, wow, that sounds so cool. So it's really interesting, the difference between kind of the invisible satisfaction versus the visible satisfaction.
I'll be honest, I'm someone who really needs praise as well, so I find it really difficult. I'm like, you'll never know!
Laurie, you're so good at things!
Laurie, you do an amazing job!
You're really good!
Yes, keep it coming, thank you. Like, I remember Kathy doing an edit for Enthusiasm once, and it was like you were cutting something.
It was.
I'd heard the version before the cut and after the cut, and I just had to message Kathy to be like, oh my gosh, that was such a beautiful cut. It was so smooth, it sounded so natural. I was so excited just to be able to like share, like, yes.
As somebody also in the invisible position, I totally appreciated that too, Laurie. And
good,
right,
I'm
back
really
at
glad.
You. I mean, yeah. I feel like doing VC cuts is always a thankless job sometimes, but man, when y'all get it right, you get it right.
Yay.
Don't worry, we know.
We know. We got you.
That's all right. I've just started asking for it now, so it's fine.
Well, taking that segue, I have a question for each of you individually. Mm. So, Laurie, I think we will start with you. And Marissa, this may apply to you as well as our other vocal cut editor here, so do chime in if you would like. But as a vocal cut editor, you are often the one responsible for bringing us those truly excellent bloopers. How do you choose them? And as a follow-up, is there a particular performer who most reliably produces the entertaining bloopers?
Oh. The interesting thing for me about the bloopers is that as time went on, we actually got less and less because the cast got so tight that there wasn't much messing around. I don't know. Maybe not messing around. Maybe that's not the right phrase. But they were just very, very focused, I'd say, and just very professional, mm-hmm. I guess. And there would be the odd moment. I think what I do when I'm choosing bloopers is if it's something that is either clearly an aside or a mess up or something that just doesn't go with the flow of the story but just made me laugh, I'll just cut it out wholesale and just put it right, just stick it at the end. And I usually will have, well, anywhere between 1 or 4 potential bloopers. And then when I get to the end, if I then listen to it out of context and it still makes me laugh, I leave it in. There have been a few things where I'm like, oh, beautiful. That's staying. Like, actually, there's one at the end of the Q&A, the cast
yes,
Q&A,
the Q&A
one.
Part one. I just finished listening to it and shipping it out. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, there was
hilarious.
One just listening to that. And as even before they'd finished and like kind of, they did, I don't think they did retake it, but I was like, oh, well, this is a blooper, isn't it? That's going, I know exactly what's happening with that.
Yes.
Oh, man, I'm listening to that tonight, so now I have something to look forward to.
Yeah, does that answer the question?
It does. If you want to get gossipy about it, is there a particular performer who most reliably could give you goofs?
Well,
As you've said, they are all very talented and very funny, so it's sort of hard to choose, I imagine.
Alex for stumbling over words, but that's usually because he's so tired. I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, that's not funny.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, Lyd and Helen's just filthy mind. And like, I mean, I think some of those probably don't even make it to bloopers, but
they're just for you.
Yeah, they're just in my collection. That's weird. No, they're not. I don't have a collection. That was embarrassing. No, I don't think there is one. Everyone has contributed to the bloopers, I'm pretty sure.
Excellent. All right. Marissa, hello.
Hello.
So first of all, I don't know if you have been in the position of choosing bloopers, anything to add to the blooper discussion before we move on to your own question.
Yeah, I don't think so, because even when I first started, it was 167, and there would maybe be a couple bloopers. But yeah, like Lori said, usually they were just so tight and focused that I'd maybe get one. There were definitely a lot more in the specials than in, like, main
that
RQG. And those really just depended on, like, the chemistry between the different performers, because sometimes they'd be people outside of the regular, like, Rusty Quill Gaming crew. So sometimes just the fact that different styles and personalities would sometimes bump up against each other, those would make for funny moments. But yeah, in the main Rusty Quill Gaming episodes, usually I'd maybe get one, and that was it.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Well, then moving on to our question for you. You work on a lot of things besides Rusty Quill Gaming, even within Rusty Quill and outside of Rusty Quill. How has working on RQG compared to the other shows you've done editing work for? Not at all asking you to pick favorites, of course. Just curious if there have been, you know, with the different genres that you work with and all that, how has this been unique?
I think this is probably unique in the fact that it's really the only comedy show that I've worked on. Enthusiasm's can be comedic sometimes, but that's more of a talk show. So I really specialize in like sci-fi, horror, and talk podcasts. So I think it was a bit of a learning curve at first, just getting like comedic timing, even in vocal edits, because sometimes you can add comedic timing just by adding a slight pause or shortening a pause or things like that, that I really had to get used to. But
no joke, I did not realize that you did that. So like that was a thing that you guys did as part of the vocal cut. So yeah, great. Again, with the, you know, the good vocal cuts are the ones where you don't notice it. I never would have even guessed that. So well done there.
Yeah, definitely with our timing, we can affect kind of the mood of the story. So getting used to that in comedy versus like extremely dramatic or tense situations is definitely a change. Cause I've done a little bit of like Magnus specials editing as well. And those were a little bit more in my wheelhouse than Rusty Quill Gaming, but I'm glad that I got the chance to like broaden my horizons a little bit.
Yeah. And we're very glad that you did as well, because, again, you made things logistically possible so many times that otherwise would not have been. So my producer heart thanks you very, very much. All right. Let's talk to Tessa. Now, this actually is another question from Kit.
Ooh,
and you have sort of answered it already, but I will. There are some more sort of sides to the prompt in this version, so I will let you add on as you would like. What is the weirdest sound, / sound with the strangest source, / sound you are most proud of making for this show? So I think you've already touched on stuff that you are most proud of. I personally am very curious what, in terms of weirdest sound or sound with the weirdest source, what you would say for that.
Yeah, I would say that that's kind of tangled up with the final episodes and working with Kathy, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had some previously made dragon noises, as mentioned, from way back when, that we could reuse, but they had just had like one or two different cries or growls or whatever. And we needed a lot of different emotions to come in the last couple episodes of like, oh man, I've been impaled.
That relatable emotion.
Yeah. I'm angry and oh, I'm very frustrated by this flighty little halfling flitting around. And
yes.
All these different kind of emotions needed to come through in the dragon growls and like the lengths of the growls and the depth of them, and so I got to learn how people usually make dragon noises in that process with Kathy's very nice help in our back and forth at the end, because I didn't know. I was like, oh, maybe it's just like a human going grawr and then like really slowed down and stretched out. But turns out that a lot of dragon noises are made up of like alligators and what else, Kathy? Help me out. I've forgotten.
We had alligators, elk.
Oh, yeah, the elk.
Horse.
Whoa.
Yeah. Did you have one or two that were made out of, like, wolf sounds? Because I noticed a certain type of growling in there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I try to remember the others. It was, we kind of went back. Oh, hippo was one, too.
Hippo.
It's that nice, deep noise. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good noise. Yeah.
So it's all those different sounds, and then you edit them and, you know, just mess with it until it sounds right-ish, and you hope it sounds good, and then Kathy says, it's good enough, or, let's change this part of it.
Oh, come on.
You've got too much horse in there. Take the horse down a notch.
Take the horse down a notch.
Yeah, what did you end up using primarily, Tessa? Like, what did you use
I
the most?
I don't remember. It's been too long. I don't remember. I think it was probably kind of, I was really using the old sound and then trying to, like, layer things on top of it.
Sure, yeah.
So that it still had sort of the same tone. I loved the elk cries, and so I tried to use those a lot, but it really changed it changed how it sounded too much from the earlier versions. So then I had to take that back. I thought that the elk crying sounds were just their like yell sound is so interesting and so strange.
They're so cool.
Yeah. Another sound, and this is kind of a more small thing, but I remember I was really struggling with it, was when the Vengeance crashes and all of the characters are being thrown from the ship and they're being described as like sliding through the snow for an extended period of time. And I was looking on Freesound. It was not snowing outside here, so I couldn't go record my own snow sounds. I was looking on Freesound and I was looking for sledding sounds, for skiing sounds, for snowboarding. There were no sounds that were good to use for it that I could find at the time. And I was at a loss. I was like, how do I make this? Also, how do I make like a ship sliding through the snow? That's such a huge sound. And all these other things. I don't know if the ship actually slid through the snow. Either way, the characters. I was like, how do I do it? And I had a moment, like an epiphany, when I was like doing something totally different. Like I was on a walk with my dog or Tika in the woods. And I was like, carpet, pulling a carpet, dragging carpets, because I knew that there were all these carpet dragging sounds from previous times when I'd had to do, like, dragging a body around.
Like you do.
As you do. Yeah. Yeah. Just a typical sound to make.
Your classic comedy podcast.
Yes,
yeah.
classic comedy podcast. Drag some bodies around. I have recorded dragging one of my friends around on like a tile floor before for an episode.
Yes.
And so I found like really good carpet dragging sounds and then made them huge by slowing them down a bunch and like putting all this bass and depth. And it worked.
Yay.
I mean, you know, looking back, I'm like, that sound could be better, of course, as with most things, but I was still very pleased at the time.
Well, good.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, Since you mentioned it earlier, I have to just ask, can you very quickly grab a random thing out of your sound box and just give us a little sample? Yay!
Foley boxes are the best.
Oh, it already sounds great!
Okay, well, I seem to have lost my favorite sound-making thing, or I got rid of it at some point, but I've got my jingle bells, of course.
Hey.
And I've got a harmonica, which I cannot play, but I have it. A bunch of dice.
Nice.
Now, I mean, if you need dice rolling sounds, I have so many.
So many.
They're really handy to cover cuts.
I have a cowbell.
I mean, that was a...
Yay!
Yay. Oh, goodness. Yay. Thank you. Thank you for the glimpse into the sound box. And we are now getting close on time, so we're going to try and hurry, but I want to make sure we get to Kathy. So, Kathy.
No, you don't.
That leaves you.
Exist in the shadows. You don't.
Yeah, no, you get out here. You come here.
No, you can't beat me. No, stop it.
Listen, if I got to talk, you got to talk.
Oh, okay, all right. Fine.
Okay, so you are, as I mentioned, the newest member of the RQG editing squad.
Yeah.
What was your first impression of the show and its crew when you initially joined, and has that changed?
That is so much more of
a
personal
question.
Yeah, Kathy has to answer than we did.
In all seriousness, if you don't want to answer it, I can try and think of something else. That's just what I could think of.
I want you to tell exactly what you thought of me specifically upon first impression. No filtration, just honesty.
No pressure, not at all.
It's seriously asking, should this be a different question?
No.
Okay.
To be completely honest, I was and now and always will be deeply impressed with the entire Rusty Quill Gaming crew and Rusty Quill in general, but Rusty Quill Gaming, y'all are my family at this point, so.
Yes.
I first looked at starting to help you guys with mastering and taking over for Alex, I really wasn't sure I would be able to do you guys justice, because you've already put together such an amazing series and an amazing show. The very least I could do is give it the old college try and help out where you needed it. And as long as nobody started screaming bloody murder of, you know, oh my gosh, get this girl out of here, she doesn't know what she's doing. And, you know, I figured everything would be fine. But before I came on, I did a lot of stuff solo. So going to a group project scenario was a change, but a good change.
Yeah.
So it's been really awesome putting all of it together and working with you all. Did you say impressions between then and now?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. I think the only impression that's changed is that, you know, Alex has gone from being, you know, I'm trying to think of the words. Yeah, I'm thinking back to, like, when Alex first gave me, like, the once-over of, like, all right, here's how we do mastering. Here's how we go through this whole process. And at the time, it just... everything was feeling really overwhelming, so I wanted to make sure I wasn't messing anything up. And then hearing him in the Rusty Quill Gaming and hearing his mischievousness and his antagonistic, maybe, yep. way of
oh, yes.
gaming
a little bit.
100%.
Like, okay, yeah.
No,
I'd call it impishness.
Yes, that's probably the...
No, I'd call it very purposeful antagonistic traits.
Laurie's like, there's no excuses here. Hard.
It's antagonistic. I make him sound good. No, I don't. He's a lovely man.
We love you, Alex.
No, we respect the craft, definitely.
Yes, I mean...
Exactly.
He chooses to be the antagonist.
But, you know, I managed to get over the intimidation factor. There's still some there for everyone, but, you know.
Well, I mean, awesome. Your addition to the team has been absolutely freaking awesome. Thank you so much. It's just lovely working with you.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
No.
You haven't got one. Oh, no.
No praise.
Who can take a compliment most awkwardly? Go.
I love it.
It'll be a fun.
Oh, I'll take it the least awkwardly because I graciously accept every compliment directed towards me. Like, yes, you're right.
Yes. Yes. You're amazing. You're fantastic and a star.
Yes, thank you. I know.
A star. Actually, there is a point of the editing pipeline that I think got really overlooked, which is Tessa messaging me on the day that my edit is due, being like, just very gently and friendlily, like, is it going to be ready today? And I'm like, no, Tessa, it's going to be tomorrow.
I'm really sorry.
Yeah. So I appreciate you for that.
Okay, that makes me feel better because with Hannah, I'm always going, I know it's due today. Can you give me one or two more? I'm sorry. Things happen
again. Always okay. That is why you build in some leeway into the schedule so everyone can be cool because we want y'all to be safe.
Huge appreciation. Appreciation to Hannah, the producer, and all the like previous setup to have created a system where there's enough of a buffer where, like, if we suddenly fall ill or something happens or you just can't get to it, that you have a couple extra days and you know you have those if you need them. So there's not as much like pressure to work for 8 hours in one day to get the whole thing done, you know?
Yeah, like no crunch.
No crunch.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, no. No crunch. We don't do crunchiness. Only crunchy, delicious sounds.
Well, we're sort of at the end of our time here. Just as a final shout out, since Tessa, you mentioned sort of the system that was in place and like we all have joined in kind of at various points along the process of Rusty Quill Gaming. Just a shout out to all of the other people that have helped make this show who are not on this call with us. I don't have a list of names in front of me, but there are many very cool, talented people who also did editing and did producing and did all of this stuff for the show. And obviously they laid the groundwork for what we all have been working with, and we love them for it. So just shout out to all you guys, wherever you may be. You're cool. We like you. And I think with that, unless there's any final closing thoughts anyone would like to toss in our last few seconds, we might be at an end.
I
here.
Want extra love for Marissa and Lowry because you both do awesome.
Oh, I support that. Yay! Extra love for Marissa and Lowry. It is hereby bequeathed. We're doing heart signs with the hands. It's official. Yep.
I don't know what that was.
I'm gonna keep it in now.
I'm gonna come off sounding so good in this.
Oh yeah. Fantastic. All right. Well, then I guess we will wrap things up here. So in the usual tradition of Rustical Gaming, bye.
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 Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by Hannah Preisinger. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at The Rusty Quill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord or via Reddit at r/rustyquill. Thanks for listening.
Oh, damn it. I just thought of a really good thing I wanted to say.
What? You can say it now and add it in.
A big moment. It could be a blooper.
Fix it in post.
Fix it in post.
Oh, the worst words ever spoken.
Yep.
Yes. The intro has a... Alex is so particular about where the vocal comes in during the intro. Mm-hmm. And I had been doing it for so long. And then literally... like tens and tens and tens of episodes before he was like, finally, he was like, right, can we have a meeting about this? Really nicely. Like, really, he was like, I just don't understand why you don't get it. And it was, it's after the boom, boom.
Yeah, there's a little doo, doo, and then that's when the voices come in. I also sat in on that meeting and I was like, oh, I never even noticed that those were there.
Same. And now I can't not hear it. So I know what he means.
Yeah.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.